Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, such similar words, but with some actually pretty significant differences. And if we're going to design digital systems that support trust and accountability, the distinction between those words actually matters. So welcome back to A Digital Identity Digest. Today's episode is about something I didn't actually expect to come away with from a week of the WSIS Plus 20 sessions in Geneva. And that something is a very strong opinion that disinformation isn't just a problem of content, it's actually a problem of infrastructure, and that infrastructure includes identity. So let's start with a few definitions, because words matter. Misinformation is false or misleading information shared without the intent to deceive. You hear a rumor, you pass it along. Happens all the time. Disinformation is intentionally deceptive. It is crafted and spread to influence opinion or behavior, often politically or financially motivated. And malinformation is true, but it's used maliciously, like leaking private data or weaponizing something out of context to harm someone. And most of the efforts to address this, fact-checking, moderation, takedowns, focus on the content itself. And those efforts are very, very important. But what I heard in the WSIS sessions wasn't about content moderation policies. It was actually more about infrastructure. So let me give you some real world examples that may help you get to where I am. One was an example of humanitarian workers who need reliable communication in conflict zones. I heard about journalists trying to survive and tell the truth amid a flood of algorithmic lies. And I heard about peacekeeping missions and public health campaigns struggling to deliver critical, trusted information fast enough to make a difference. In all of these cases, trust isn't about whether someone flagged a tweet. It's about whether the systems that we've been building support or sabotage the truth. If your network goes down, people are going to turn to unofficial challenges. If your logs are incomplete or your timestamps can't be verified, there's no way to confirm the integrity of a message. If your system can't authenticate a sender, how do you know whether or not to act? All of that's not just a technical failure, it's actually a governance failure, which is part of why it was being discussed at the WSIS event. When people lose trust in digital systems, they don't just doubt the platform, they start doubting whole institutions and even each other. So in all of that, you know, what was interesting to me is identity wasn't actually a big topic in disinformation sessions, not directly, but it did keep showing up at the edges. Just think about it. How do you know who sent a message? How do you know it hasn't been tampered with? How do you build authenticity? Identity systems help us answer those questions, not necessarily by outing people or violating privacy, but by establishing provenance. Verified senders can be trusted more quickly. Credentials can provide assurance about who said what and when. And attribute-based access can ensure information flows to the right people at the right time. Identity and access management alone certainly won't solve the misinformation, disinformation problems, but it is one of the tools that can help shore up trust in the systems where that information lives and travels. Now, shifting from that, another recurring theme at WSIS Plus 20 was resilience. Not just uptime and redundancy, but real resilience, how systems perform in the messy, unpredictable, and sometimes dangerous real world. This came up in sessions on sustainability, infrastructure, and disaster response. I got to hear presenters from the IEEE, from the CERN physicists, and others who deal with risk every day. And just how they phrased it was really interesting to me, right? It's that resilience isn't just a technical thing. It's actually a social contract. And whenever that resilience breaks down, we're actually breaking the contract. We're designing systems for the connected, for the resourced, for the mainstream user. We don't always design for people in remote areas, in multilingual regions, in low-trust environments. What we're doing, broadly speaking, is optimizing for scalability, not adaptability. And identity systems struggle with this all the time. Strict verification is fantastic for fraud protection, and it's terrible if you're a displaced person without documentation. In trying to protect, we're often excluding, and when people are excluded, disinformation finds all the room to grow. Why? Because people turn to what's available, and if trustworthy systems aren't available or don't work for them, they'll turn to whatever is available. So bringing this back to disinformation, you know, bringing it all together, disinformation flourishes in the gaps where systems can't verify sources, where users don't trust what they see, and where infrastructure fails or excludes. If your digital trust infrastructure, identity included, only works for the people in best case scenarios, then you have built perfect conditions for disinformation to thrive. That's, you know, part of why standards in identity and access management matter, because they're shaping the defaults, they define what's interoperable, and they influence whether truth stands any chance of being seen, heard, and trusted. Okay, so let's just say, for argument's sake, you who are listening to this are an identity professional. What can you actually do? Actually, I have a list. Some places to start is treat resilience as a design goal. Think about your low connectivity, low trust environments. What happens if your employees or your customers can't get online? Build systems that don't assume always on high assurance networks. Another thing you can do is make authenticity an architectural concern. Include that provenance metadata. Support verifiable claims. Use identifiers, not identities, identifiers, that are strong but privacy preserving. And last but not least, engage in governance conversations, because policy isn't just someone else's job. Find a way to share feedback between, I don't know, standards groups, policymakers, civil societies, your employers. Ask who's being served and who's being left out. Great. But now let's say you're not just in IAM, you're actually a standards architect. You are my people. If you're working on protocols, specs, or standards development, one, actually define, lay out, write down your trust assumptions. Spell out what the system is assuming about message integrity, source credibility, and underlying infrastructure. Design the standards for degraded conditions. Don't assume perfect metadata or constant uptime. Make sure your standard is resilient in the real world. Think beyond fraud. Fraud is not the only problem we're solving for. Add disinformation, suppression, and adversarial misuse of identity to your threat models. And last but not least, build consultation into the process. Bring in people who aren't technologists. Bring in journalists. Bring in responders. Bring in civil society leaders. Their use cases will broaden your imagination about the problems you're trying to solve, may give you some interesting ideas on how to do it. Trust isn't just about whether a system is secure. It's about whether people believe in the internet and that it is a place where truth can ever be trusted. When systems exclude people by design or neglect, trust erodes, and in that erosion, disinformation happens. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from the WSIS Plus 20 event. And that wasn't something, you know, most sessions said out loud in that way, but it sure became obvious to me as the week went on. If we want to fight misinformation and disinformation and malinformation for that matter, we can't just treat it as a content problem. It's an infrastructure problem. And identity professionals, standard architects, we're part of that solution. Totally messy work, cross-disciplinary, politically complex, usually frustrating. But if we want trustworthy systems, we have to build them for everyone, not just the easy parts of the public. That means asking those hard questions. Who's benefiting from this? Who's being left out? Make it explicit, even though it might make you look bad. What does all of this really mean to build for trust in a world where truth is so regularly contested? Food for thought for you. And thank you for listening. Perhaps next year, more of us identity people and standards people will meet up at one of these governance events. I think it'll be an interesting conversation. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest.
If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.